You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Okay, let's get it. Locked On LSU, your team every day. I'm Matt Moscona, ESPN Radio, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Alexandria, CST. And right here for the Locked On LSU podcast, where we thank you for making us your first listen every day. The Ed Orgeron era at LSU is coming to an end. By now, you know, on Sunday, LSU, after their improbable win over Florida in Tiger Stadium on Saturday, announced that Ed Orgeron will not return as the head coach of the Tigers in 2022. He will, however, finish the remainder of the season and will receive his full buyout, some $17 million. Over the next 20 minutes or so, we will get into candidates. I will tell you everything I know with respect to the timing, why they do it now, the buyout, etc. That's all coming. I wanted to start, though, with a reaction and sort of the how we got here. Because I know some people are thinking, how in the world, less than 2 years after winning a national championship, in emphatic fashion, arguably the greatest college football season ever, how can you fire that coach less than 2 years later? And maybe the best way to do it is actually to flip it, to say, if you are at the point where you're firing a coach that won a national championship in less than 2 years, couldn't I argue that the situation, the culture around the program, the decision-making has been so bad and so flawed that you had no choice but to do this right now? That's where Scott Woodward and LSU administrators are. Ed Orgeron won the national championship in 2019. It was January of 2020. A month later, he filed for divorce. Everything since that moment has gone wrong for LSU and Ed Orgeron. From hiring Bo Pelini on Pete Carroll's advice, acknowledging he did not even interview him, from going with a young passing game coordinator like Joe Brady to a dinosaur, a relative football dinosaur like Scott Linehan. You are starting to see stories emerge about what happened last summer during the George Floyd protests and the social justice marches in the summer of 2020, where it was very clear that Ed Orgeron, going on Fox News and saying, "We love President Trump," did not sit well with many of his young black players. By the way, I'm not getting political. I don't care your point of view, and you shouldn't care mine, and that's irrelevant. The point is, this contributed to Ed Orgeron losing the locker room. When some players confronted him about it, his response was not warm and receptive. When the players wanted to do a march, his response was not warm and receptive, which is why the players marched to the president's office without their head coach. At that moment, Ed Orgeron lost his locker room. There were fractions among the players, players to coaches, within the coaching staff, among the support staff, and it showed on the field, and Ed never got it back. Beyond that, look at all the hires. They turned over both coordinators last year because Pelini and Linehan were disasters, and then Steve Ensminger retired. You turn over six staff members year to year, and in a year where you absolutely had to have it, the coordinators that you hire are Jake Peets and Durante Jones, two guys that had never done the job before, and it has showed on the field again this year. And then there are the very obvious off-field black eyes that have stained this program. LSU is involved in a federal Title IX lawsuit, and yes, Orgeron is a defendant in two lawsuits against LSU stemming from those Title IX accusations. Let me repeat that. Your head football coach is a defendant in two federal Title IX lawsuits. There are the embarrassing pictures of your head football coach in bed with a woman, shirtless at the beach, gallivanting around town in L.A. at pools, at casinos. The point is, and I am not here to judge what any man does in his personal life. Ed Orgeron is a single man with tremendous wealth and clout and cachet And I understand all of that. And if he wants to live his best life, by all means. There is a standard, however, that you must abide by when you are the highest paid state employee, the face of LSU football, by extension, the face of LSU, and his behavior has been unbecoming. You are starting to hear other stories leak out about some of his behavior around town. Brody Miller of The Athletic, Ross Dellinger at SI, each have pieces that go into some detail about this. The Friday before the Kentucky game, there was a scene in the locker room where there was a problem with the hype video, and Ed Ogeron threw a chair against the wall and was berating staff members in front of the team. There were a couple of staff members that had to physically be separated from each other. This is the unraveling that has happened within this program. There's the Sissy Blue comment made on the way walking into the UCLA game. There's been reports, obviously, about the incident with Ed Ogeron and some LSU fans down in Fushan over the summer. My point is, when you have all of these instances stacked on top of each other, the weight of it becomes too much to bear, especially when you're not winning on the field. Now we can talk about the results on the field, and obviously when you are sub 500 against the Power 5 since winning the national championship, that's just never going to be good enough. And when you throw all of the weight of everything else we just discussed on top of it, it got to the point where you had to make this decision, because if you're Scott Woodward, if you're the LSU administration, you can't risk further embarrassment, because what will the next embarrassment be, and will it cause irreparable harm? It's why you had to move on from Ed Ogeron for the betterment of this program as a whole. Now, what about the buyout? Why now? Who's next? We're going to delve into all of that. We're glad you're hanging out with us here. Very pleased to tell you about Prize Picks, leader in college sports daily fantasy. If you've not tried Prize Picks yet, it is daily fantasy made easy. You will love Prize Picks. They are the leader in college sports daily fantasy. So if you want college football props, you can get them at Prize Picks. And remember, when you go to prizepicks.com or download the app, use the promo code LOCKEDON and get a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks allows mixed sports entries. Use their award-winning app in the App Store, Google Play, or go to prizepicks.com. Picks can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Prize Picks, it's safe, offers fast withdrawals. Again, go to prizepicks.com. Use the code LOCKEDON to get your welcome bonus with your deposit match of up to $100. So be sure to use the promo code Locked On at Prize Picks. As we continue here, Locked On LSU, we thank you for making us your first listen. So one question I've gotten a lot since the announcement that Ed Ogeron will not be retained is timing, and another is the buyout. Let's first address the timing. And we did allude to this late last week when it became very clear that Ed Ogeron was not going to be retained. I'll give you the full timeline as I've been told throughout the course of this fall. Over the summer, and I repeated this many times, I was told point blank, Ed Ogeron need to go 9-3 to feel safe. 8-4 would be iffy, depending on how it looked. 7-5, he'd be fired. When LSU lost to UCLA, the wheels were put in motion, as I had firsthand conversations with several boosters who had been contacted to contribute to the buyout. At that point, I was also starting to get names of potential candidates. That was after UCLA. LSU had been preparing for what it felt was the inevitable. After the Auburn loss, we knew a change was going to be made definitively. And the only surprise is that it didn't come after the embarrassing Kentucky loss. And I think this is in part tells the story why the buyout is being paid in full. They lose to Kentucky, and there was some haggling over whether or not LSU was going to attempt to fire Ed Ogeron for cause and either reduce or eliminate the buyout, or if they were just going to part ways and pay him the buyout. Well, Ed Ogeron was prepared to fight for his buyout money. And here is the very uncomfortable decision that LSU had to make. If Ed Ogeron is fired for cause and fights, then you're going to court. And we're talking about Title IX allegations, NCAA allegations, perhaps other violations and things involving his personality that could cause embarrassment to the university. And if you go to court, then you are talking about depositions, testimony under oath, disclosure. And if you're LSU, do you really want all the sordid details about NCAA investigations and Title IX investigations? Do you really want all of your dirty laundry aired in a public forum under oath? I would suggest not. And Ed Ogeron is just crazy enough to go to court with a what-do-I-have-to-lose mentality to fight LSU and bring the whole ship down potentially. So if you're LSU, your option then becomes pay him the full buyout in exchange for cooperation. Here's your $17 million. We're not going to go to court. You're not going to mention anything. You're going to coach the remainder of the season. You're going to say all the right things. You're going to keep this train on the tracks as best you can until the end of the season. That's why LSU ultimately is paying Ed Ogeron his full buyout. They are paying him for cooperation and to avoid a very ugly legal battle over that buyout money. I'll remind you, LSU ended up in a years-long battle with former defensive coordinator John Chavis over his buyout money. There's pending legal action right now with former offensive line coach James Craig about his buyout money because they fired him for cause. So LSU is trying to avoid that ugly public situation, and I don't blame them. And something I'll remind fans is it ain't your money. It's boosters paying that buyout. They get a tax write-off because it's a contribution to LSU, and it's what's going to be best for this athletic department to do that. Now, the timing is something that we also mentioned late last week, which is it became abundantly clear after Auburn that they were going to move on, and I thought that decision to fire Ed or the announcement was going to come after Kentucky. There were a couple of issues. LSU does not have an obvious interim head coach. There was when Les Miles was fired, Ed Ogeron had been a head coach. He had been an interim head coach. It was very obvious and natural for him to fit into that role. LSU did not have that option this time. Mickey Joseph was going to be the most likely replacement, but even still, there wasn't enough confidence in that decision to make the move. I'll remind you, when Scott Woodward was at the University of Washington, he fired Tyrone Willingham in 2008. The Huskies had a winless season that year. They made the announcement after week 7, so the timing here aligns. After the 7th game, they were 0-7, they made the announcement they would not retain Ty Willingham, but he would coach the remainder of the season. This is a strategy that Scott Woodward has used before. The benefit of doing this now is there are several reasons. Number one, first and foremost, it gives LSU cover now to be able to begin its search in earnest. They no longer have to use back channels and cloaks of secrecy to try to communicate with representatives of potential candidates because everyone knows LSU is in the market for a coach. So now they can openly make calls and field calls with potential candidates or their representatives. So that's one primary reason now. You can be more open about conducting a search. I would also suggest a benefit to doing it now is recruiting. And this is something that Ed Ogeron did talk about in the press conference on Sunday to announce that he wouldn't return, which is he's going to continue to recruit for LSU. He's going to continue to tell recruits, come to LSU. And at this point, it allows LSU to be transparent with his recruits to say what they're looking at, what the next coach may be, what types of things they're considering. And it also disallows opponents from negative recruiting LSU, whereas someone might say to a recruit, why would you go there? You don't know who your coach is going to be. You don't know why would you commit to Ed Ogeron? You don't know if he's going to be there. Well, now you know he's not. So there are questions obviously still to answer, but one big one, will Ed Ogeron be back? is no longer a question. So it aids in that respect also. And I would also suggest that making this announcement now prevents some type of uncomfortable situation at the end of the year if LSU goes on a bit of a run. And it's certainly plausible. What if they beat Arkansas and Texas A&M and get to 7-5 and, you know, they finish middle of the SEC? There might be rallying support behind Ed Orgeron, like what happened late in 2015 for Les Miles. Now this absolutely eliminates any possibility of that conversation. It's done. The buyout contract has been agreed upon, signed. It is over. Ed Orgeron will not be back next year. He will coach the remainder of this season, and that's it. So, for many reasons, the timing does make sense. Now, the obvious next question that everyone asks is, okay, well, who's going to be the next coach? I will tell you exactly what I know up until this point in just a moment. Let me remind you about Built Bar and BuiltBar.com. Of course, Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar in the world. If you've not tried it yet, what are you waiting on? BuiltBar.com. Use the code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15. To save 15% off your first order, again, at BuiltBar.com. Built Bar is the best-tasting protein bar in the world. Find one of your favorite flavors. There are 9 delicious flavors and also limited-time flavors as well. High protein, high fiber, low calorie, low sugar, gluten-free, perfect for keto. It's Built Bar. Get yours today at BuiltBar.com. BuiltBar.com. Use the code LOCKED15 to save 15% off your first order at BuiltBar.com. The obvious question that everyone asks during a time like this is, okay, Ed Orgeron's out, so who is next? Full transparency, I will tell you what I know. After the UCLA game, when I first started receiving calls about buyout money being collected, I was also given 2 names, Lane Kiffin and Bill O'Brien. Both make sense for a lot of reasons. Both have experience in the SEC. Lane Kiffin, of course, is arguably the best offensive play caller, offensive mind in college football. Bill O'Brien has worked for both Bill Belichick, Nick Saban. He's Alabama's current offensive coordinator, so that Saban tree of sorts. He did a phenomenal job at Penn State when he replaced Joe Paterno amid their scandal and was actually a really good football coach with the Houston Texans. He was just a terrible general manager. Bill O'Brien's probably a guy that's a better college head coach than an NFL head coach. His style just seems to fit that better. Now, since then, I received 2 other names. After the Auburn game, I was told Luke Fickell and James Franklin. Now, both of these would make a lot of sense. Luke Fickell is more defensive-minded. Franklin, offensive-minded. Both are successful head coaches right now. Franklin was a head coach at Vanderbilt and had 9 win seasons. He's the current head coach at Penn State. Luke Fickell is the current coach at Cincinnati. He was the interim head coach at Ohio State before they hired Urban Meyer and now has Cincinnati top 5 in the country. There are a couple of objections with each of these guys. I'll tell you there's another name that has emerged and why. I'm told this is going to be a squeaky clean hire because of, in large part, LSU's Title IX issues. If that's the case, then someone like Lane Kiffin, who has a lot of off-the-field escapades as well, might not be the best fit. Someone that I would like a lot is Hugh Freeze, but Hugh Freeze obviously was fired at Ole Miss for his off-the-field transgressions. You can strike him from the list. Some may mention Urban Meyer if his time in Jacksonville is short-lived. Same thing. Off-the-field issues might strike Urban Meyer from the list if this is going to be a squeaky clean hire. If you look at Luke Fickell, I am told Fickell, early conversations with him were not receptive and that he wasn't actually interested. A Midwest guy, went to Ohio State, would likely rather hold out for a job somewhere in the Big Ten. And also, as the head coach at Cincinnati, Cincinnati's about to go in the Big 12. So technically, he's about to be a Power 5 head coach who's not eager to leave the Midwest where he has so many roots. So Fickell would very likely take some convincing. Now, James Franklin, I think, would be phenomenal. It's worth mentioning that James Franklin has a condo at 30A. He loves the Gulf Coast. Of course, 30A is not far from Baton Rouge, as many Baton Rougeans vacation there. Franklin spent quarantine at 30A, I'm told. So there is a lot to like there. He's making north of $5 million at Penn State, so LSU certainly has deep enough pocketbooks. One question is about the competition. Would Penn State pony up to keep James Franklin there? Southern Cal is also in the market for a new head coach and reportedly interested in James Franklin. Could LSU win a bidding war? Don't know. Questions worth asking. The other name that you've heard here of late is Mel Tucker. And Mel Tucker was hired by Nick Saban three times, actually. Hired by Nick Saban as an assistant at Michigan State, at LSU in 2000, and recently at Alabama. Tucker left Alabama to join Kirby Smart's staff at Georgia, where he was an assistant, then became a head coach at Colorado for 1 year in 2019, and now the last two seasons has been the head coach at Michigan State, and he presently has them 7-0. They're undefeated, but small sample size. The variable that I will mention now that is going to make some people uncomfortable, just candidly, is that LSU has a new president in William Tate. And William Tate is the first black president at LSU. And it has been expressed to me that William Tate is not only inserting himself into all of these conversations and decisions, but that William Tate has a strong desire to make a legacy hire, to bring the first minority head football coach to LSU, which is a wonderful sentiment and something that I certainly would love to think that this university and fan base would be open to and receptive to and would celebrate. I do not believe, however, that can be the sole criteria for hiring a head football coach. Because if that is the sole criteria, then you are seriously limiting the pool of qualified candidates that could restore LSU to glory. If James Franklin or Mel Tucker, both who are black men, want this job and interview and emerge as the top candidate, phenomenal. I think they would be welcomed in Baton Rouge, and I think either of those two men would do a phenomenal job. Beyond that, every candidate that I've heard is just fan fodder. A lot of fans say, what about Joe Brady? He loves the NFL, does not like recruiting. He's going to be an NFL head coach. What about Dave Aranda? Well, what about him? Dave's doing a great job at Baylor, but he's only in year two, small sample size. I don't know that that's the road LSU is going to go. However, if he continues this path with the type of season he's had, I mean, he would certainly make a strong case if LSU gets down its list. A lot of fans mention names like Billy Napier. If LSU is going to go the group of five route, it's going to be someone far down their list. And what I'm told is the guy who would actually be more appealing is Jamie Chadwell from Coastal Carolina, because he has actually done a better job at Coastal than Napier has done at ULL. That's not to say Napier couldn't get the LSU job and do well. The last three coaches at LSU have won national championships. So there's a strong reason to believe that anybody who's qualified could come in and do a great job if they play their cards right. Napier is an interesting name, but I've not heard it from anyone at LSU. I also hear fans mention Mario Cristobal, another guy that would fit under the minority category, but you know, is, as a head coach, does not have a great track record. His time at FIU, he was sub-500, and he's had some success at Oregon, but not an enormous deal of success at Oregon. But again, that's only a name that I've heard from fans and not so much from anyone within LSU circles that are talking about what could be next for this program. Jimbo Fisher is a name that has come up, and I will tell you flatly that LSU has no interest in speaking to Jimbo Fisher. There was such a sour taste after the 2015 negotiation with Joe Oliva and Jimmy Sexton that there are LSU boosters that have made it abundantly clear that LSU had better not even pick up the phone to call Jimbo Fisher because of how that negotiation went back in 2015. So those are most of the names that are being thrown out there. And no doubt, as the news cycle goes in these next few weeks, there will be more names that are thrown out there. One thing that I will certainly caution you is this is agent season. Agents stump for their candidates. Agents try to force their candidate's name into the forefront so that way they can negotiate and have multiple offers to negotiate against a potential interest with their current school to get them a better offer or to get a better contract with a better job. That is, by definition, a sports agent's job. is to look out for its candidate and get people talking about his client. So be leery of that as we progress here over these next weeks. But the most interesting question for me is, who is making the final decision? Is it Scott Woodward or is it William Tate? And as I sit here right now in this very moment, I don't have the answer to that question. But I do believe the answer to that question is going to determine who ends up being the football coach at LSU. And we are going to continue to follow this here over the next weeks. Amazingly, we didn't spend a minute of the show today talking about LSU's improbable win over Florida. We'll do that tomorrow with more about LSU heading to Ole Miss and anything else new that we have on this coaching search. But as it stands today on this Monday, that's what I know. I would appreciate very much if you would subscribe to the podcast, if you found this on Twitter, if you retweeted, if you found it on Facebook, share it. Let people know that we're here every single day, locked on LSU, talking some Tigers, and we appreciate you for making us your first listen. While you're at it, make Locked On SEC your second listen, as our buddy Chris Gordy covers everything from around the conference. Until tomorrow, it is Locked On LSU, your team every day.